amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Malachi, the very last book of the Old Testament. And somewhat it's the book that leads into the New Testament, the prophet Malachi. And we're going to be reading here, starting in verse 6, and we're going to read down to verse 12. Malachi chapter 3, go ahead and stand with me. Let's read the Word of God together here. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And let's pray. Father, again, as we just bow before you, we thank you, God, for the precious preserved word that we have before us, that we can know the very mind and the thoughts of a creator God, how it applies to our lives even today. So I pray that you would just help us to open up our hearts and our minds to receive the help that you have for us this evening. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So Malachi was a prophet to the children of God after captivity. And he addresses here in chapter 3, he addresses the sins of Israel, how they have failed to do what they were supposed to do in a covenant with God, going all the way back to Jacob or Israel. As he is addressing the sins of Israel, it is a book of prophecy, and prophetically, he was addressing the New Testament church, and we'll see that in several different areas here. First of all, in chapter 3 and verse 1, when he says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So it's talking about the coming of the Messiah, but first of all, the coming of John the Baptist, who would be before Christ, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and establishing the New Testament church. And then we find, if you will, in chapter 8, or in chapter 6, he says, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore, ye sons of Jacob. So he's taking it all the way back, what he's going to address here concerning the storehouse, which is the New Testament church today, he's taking it all the way back to Jacob, which would have been how that God worked in Jacob's heart to be able to commit the tithe of the 10% to the Lord, and we'll see that in a few minutes as well. But he speaks of also in verse 8, tithes and offerings. which is what Jesus referred to when he came, and what the New Testament church is supposed to assemble themselves together for, to receive the tithes and the offerings on a weekly basis on the first day of the week. He talks about the storehouse in verse 10, bringing all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, storehouse, the Old Testament and the tabernacle, but the storehouse, what he's referring to here is going back to, again, the coming of the Messiah, establishing the New Testament church, and he's revealing that that is his house, that there may be meat in mine house. So when Jesus come, he established the church as the family of God. And the church that we assemble together in as the house of God. Over in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, after he gave the qualifications for the pastor and the deacons and their wives, then he says this about the church in verse 15. He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God," which again, the house of God is God's house. In the Old Testament, it was a storehouse, and the New Testament is the local New Testament church. So we need to see how this comes together, how the Old Testament, no, we're not under the Old Testament law, but the prophecies was the establishing of the New Testament church, and the New Testament church being the house of God, and it is to some be a type of a storehouse, Old Testament storehouse. But it's mine house. It's the house of God. It's what God is working through. He's working through his house with the established positions that he had established, with the qualifications that God gave. You can't change those qualifications. No one has the authority to change the qualifications for the leadership of the church. God's established it. It's his house. So the church is made up of baptized, born-again believers. Again, it's all important that we understand God's plan, and that what we're doing in bringing the tithes and the offerings to the storehouse is exactly God's will for this New Testament church age. And you have to connect it. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I trust that most everyone here, you're going to understand this, but it's going to help you in just strengthening what you already know to be true. I think sometimes we need to be reminded of the truths that we might have already established in our hearts as truth. But 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 13, the Bible says, "For what is it?" Oh, I better go to 1 Corinthians here. I'm in the wrong book. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." And so he's referring to the church and how that is baptized into that membership. And then he goes down to say in verse 18, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." So we know that there's going to be local New Testament churches all around the world. That was God's, that's the Great Commission. That's what we pray for every week. We pray for our missionaries. We pray that there would be souls saved and New Testament churches established all around the world. And every one of these local New Testament churches make up a house of God with the very same authority and the positions that God has established there, with the very same way to be supported. The church is not to be supported by the government. We're not supposed to be supported by outside the church. God's plan is for the church to be supported by his people that he plants there through the tithes and offerings. which keeps the storehouse strong in the Old Testament, which keeps the church strong here in the New Testament. In verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, your family. Every member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, we're family. We're part of God's family. He's put us in the very same body. He's got us in the same church to accomplish what God has established as a commission for his church to establish, to accomplish. Can I tell you that as God plants us here, God blesses the members of each church so that they can give to keep the storehouse strong. Now, don't misunderstand that. You don't give to be able to pay the bills of the church. You don't give to be able to pay the staff salary. You don't give, first of all, to the church. You give to God. Amen. Through the church that he has planted you in to accomplish what God has for us to accomplish. God plants you here. If you're a member of this Lighthouse Baptist Church, God plants you here, and God has a plan for you. And first of all, one of those plans is to use you to help keep the storehouse strong. And when you understand that God is using me, and so God will bless me so that I can be a blessing to his church. Now, that's not the only reason we're blessed by God. We're blessed by God so that you might be able to sustain your family, that you might be able to put a roof over your head, that you might be able to do what you have. But as you look to God, he's planted you here, and he will bless you to be able to bless his church. I want to give as God would have me to give, because as I give unto the Lord, I can't outgive God, if you understand what God would have you to give. Now, if you listen to man, sometimes people outgive what God wants you to give. If you give according to God's plan, you cannot outgive the Lord. If you give according to man's plan, you can. Because you're foolish in what you're giving is not based upon God's will. It's based on what somebody can talk you into. And many times you're fooled by a commercial and seeing these children that are in need, and I understand that, but they know, and they use the same pictures over and over again, and they try to get you to take your tithe and give to a cause, and that's not God's plan. And you can give away what God intends for you to live by and what God intends for you to use for his purpose, and you can outgive. But you can't outgive God if you're giving according to his plan. But you have to understand his plan. Don't let somebody confuse you in any other plan other than what God's word has established. And we have to understand God's plan for his church and keeping the storehouse or the New Testament church strong. And we do that through God's plan of tithes and offerings. Go back with me to Malachi chapter 3. Understanding where they went wrong, and they were blinded to it. He says, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye the sons of Jacob. Now, why would he not go back and use Abraham? Well, it was through Jacob that the 10% was established as a tithe. Genesis chapter 28, let me just read this to you. In Genesis in chapter 28, and again, most of us know this, but it's good to understand, put it all together. Genesis 28, verse 22, and this stone which I set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So Jacob making a commitment that God wanted him to make to God concerning a tithe. And so we find Malachi refers back to that, not to Abraham, but to Jacob. Yeah. In the book of Proverbs, and we've been in Proverbs here on Sunday nights, or Sunday mornings, I'm sorry. But in the book of Proverbs, we find this is what the Bible helps us to understand this as well. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, especially when it comes with your finances. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. How am I honoring God with the first fruits of all mine increase? Going back to Jacob, as what Jacob was doing to honor God, and God established that tithe or that 10%. You don't have the right to change that. I don't have the right to change that. No one has the right to change that or the authority to change that. I remember I was visiting with a person, and he said, "Preacher, I only come on Sunday morning. I don't come Sunday night and Sunday and Wednesday night. Does that mean that I only have to tithe 3%? And I said, "You're not tithing with the right heart if you're even thinking that way. You ought to be thankful for what God's given to you, and you're honoring him with what God tells you to honor him. You ought to go to every service, but you don't get to subtract because you're not in church." And yet some people, it's sad to say, they don't go to church, or they'll miss out because they don't feel like they can tithe that week. And they only come to church when they feel like they can tithe. Listen to me, that is not God's will for your life. You cannot change this. I cannot change this. God changes not. It is God's word that reveals to us what the tithe is. So you honor the Lord with all thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled. When you know who God is, you ought to want to be able to give him what he asks for, because if you give God what he asks for, then you position yourself for God's blessings in that area of your giving or your obedience. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So 10% was established by God through Jacob or Israel as a tithe. Offering is not the tithe, because you definitely can see in the book of Malachi, he says, "You're robbing me." How? You're robbing me through tithes and offerings. You can't choose what you do with your tithe, not if you're going to be right in God's eyes. But the offerings is something that God has not established a percentage of on. But it is something that God wants us to do. That's giving above the tithe as an offering. I believe that Paul established the offering as being supporting missions. If you will, look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. Because the direction of tithe is different than the direction of offerings. Some people look at the offerings, and Paul is talking about missions. He's talking about offerings, and they get that confused with tithe. No, you don't determine what you give as far as a tithe. God has already determined that. But you do determine what you give as far as offerings. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8 and verse 12, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable, accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. That's offering. If you thought that to be a tithe, then you're thinking, well, this is what I think I can give. And this one, no, that's tithe has been established. Offering is something that is addressed in a different way. Chapter 9, in verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I believe that idea of a cheerful giver is also the tithe, but he's addressing here, this is an offering. This is not the tithe, but this is the way that we need to give, whether it be tithe or offering, as knowing that God loveth a cheerful giver. Don't you love it when you give and you know that God loves you because of your giving? Yeah. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. Verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, whether it be tithe and offering, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. This is an order to all the churches, because we all have the same Heavenly Father. We all have the very same Savior, Redeemer, and Lord upon the first day of the week. Praise the Lord. He's Lord of the Sabbath. He established Sunday as the day that we assemble ourselves together, and let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, and there be no gatherings when I come. Because I have been giving as God would have me to give, of a tithe and of an offering. Yeah. To be laid aside every week and be able to prove God's will. Because that's what God says he wants us to do. Again, in Malachi chapter 3, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. Now herewith saith the Lord of hosts, If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the fields, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, because they'll see the blessings of God upon your life. For ye shall be a delightsome land, evidence of God's blessings, saith the Lord of hosts. We keep the storehouse strong through tithes and offerings, to be able to do three basic things. Jude verse 3 says we contend for the faith. Where would we be if we didn't have his church and his doctrine being preached and presented to the world? We contend for the faith by keeping the storehouse strong. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. By keeping the storehouse strong, believers are to be recharged on a regular basis. What kind of light would you have if you were not in church? If you're not having your batteries recharged on a regular basis. Keeping the storehouse strong keeps us the charge ready for all who come through the doors so they can leave being the light of the world. In Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission was to go. See people saved, baptized, and discipled. If you don't have a strong church, you're not going to be able to support missions. You're not going to be able to accomplish what the church is here to accomplish, seeing souls saved, seeing souls baptized, saved individuals baptized, and seeing them discipled. That takes place when the storehouse is strong.